All right, let me tell you if this sounds familiar, because this has been happening to me recently. My seven-year-old has had a lot of tummy aches recently. We've had some nausea. We've had some a lot of hesitance about starting new projects or doing new things. I talked to him about going back to soccer this year. He's not interested. I talked to him about maybe starting singing lessons because he loves to sing and play his guitar. Not interested. He seemed a little insular. He seemed a little anxious. And I have a feeling that I know what it's about, and I think that my guest today can help me, talk me through it. I've got Dr. Joe Shippa, child psychologist, and Dr. Joe, first of all, thank you for coming back on the show. Can you diagnose what's going on with my seven-year-old and possibly many other people's school-age children right now?
Well, so diagnose is a big term, and it's very clinical.
I'm sorry. That's true. No, I should have been less tongue in cheek with actual medical facts. It's school anxiety, right? These kids have got to be feeling.
Well, it's not just school anxiety. It's new stuff anxiety.
Okay.
And it's really normal. And I have a lot of experience with this. Just quick background. Yes, I am a psychologist, and I see kids all the way through adults. So when I say that new stuff creates this kind of angst with people, it's not just kids. It's right. Also with adults. And I spent a lot of years in public education as a teacher, then as a psychologist, and then as an administrator. So I'm really familiar with what happens around this time of the year and throughout the year. So what's going on for your son, and you probably, as you said, you have a little bit of a clue about this.
Yeah.
You figured, school is right around the corner.
Right.
And, right. So the first thing, what I'm going to say here is how we work through these kinds of things is first, and you've heard me say this in other interviews we've done when we're talking about kids, parents or the adult caregivers of any type here that are responsible for getting kids ready for the first, part of the year,
right,
have to check themselves first, because you're very tuned into your son. You're like, yeah, what's going on here? And most parents are, and believe it or not, and as I said, I worked in education for a long time. Teachers feel this way too. They're anxious. They're getting new kids in their class. They don't know how, what that's going to look like, what the gel is going to look like in terms of, how kids are going to get along. So the first thing is check yourself and always know that what you're doing is, you're going to have to sort of normalize and you're going to have to neutralize where you're coming from. And I divide this up into three kind of segments. One is normalizing the situation. The second part of that is then following up after, kids have entered into the new school year.
Yeah.
And the final one is, problem solve. So within that first piece, prior to the normalization, you're checking yourself. What information do you have that you can share, in a very neutral way with your kids?
Is this more like my own anxieties, for him in terms of going back into school? I mean, is this coming from my stress of feeling like, oh God, I've got so much of my own life going on. I don't know what to do with this kid's newfound anxiety over here. Is it kind of all of that working in concert? What are we checking ourselves for?
Well, we're checking ourselves for, and you're hitting on it, how are you feeling about this? What is really going on in your life? As you said, you've got a lot of things going on. And in addition to all of this, my experience with kids and schools, I'm a parent as well, although my daughter is now an adult.
Sure.
But even when they're an adult, you don't stop being a parent and you still worry. You want the best for them. So you got to be in that place of, okay, if they're anxious, if your son is anxious, if there's something going on, you want to solve it. You don't want to see him in pain. You don't want to see him, feeling badly or even anxious, especially when you're talking about things like nausea or stomach aches.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to find a way to see if you can alleviate any of those symptoms. So one of the things that you can do is whatever information that you do have about his class, the teacher who may be in the class. You know, lots of schools now.
Yeah.
You can go into a portal and find out who your teacher is and who the kids in your
class are. It's funny. I was just talking to Melissa, Melissa in the morning here on WICC, and mm-hmm. she got her classroom assignment today for her son. And I've now been, we're in different districts, the two of us, but I've been refreshing like every couple of minutes just to see if I've got my son's classroom list yet.
Right. When I was a school administrator, one of the things when I was a school district administrator, one of the things that I would get these calls, these parents. Well, my friend in the neighboring district, they got this information already. Why don't we have it?
It's like,
Well, I don't know. Maybe you want to talk to the superintendent about that. But the reality is the superintendent is really busy with other things. And I can assure you it's coming out.
So that's that step one that you're talking about. It's like, don't let our own anxiety about who's this teacher going to be? Who are like, what kids are in the class? We can't be freaking out about that. Otherwise, they're going to be freaking out about that.
We can't be freaking out about that. And then here's the other piece of it. Once you do find out the information, you may have heard, stories about your kid's teacher who your kid is assigned to. You may see the class list and know some of the kids in there, or have heard things about, some of the kids in there. You can't get into, that can raise your anxiety. Oh, gosh, I heard this about this teacher. I heard this about your experience with this teacher is going to be very likely different than other people's experience with it. If you have some concerns, the other part of it is you're going to be building a relationship with that teacher. This teacher might be, more actually aligned with the way you think and the way your kid learns. You're not going to know that until it starts. So try not to get into bad mouthing a teacher or getting your anxiety up talking about the teacher or, so-and-so is in this class, with my kid. And it might be, there are times when you've had experience with the kid directly with your kid.
Yeah.
But kids do change too. You don't know. Developmentally they grow.
So this sounds like this sounds like it's kind of keying into I think which was the second point you made earlier of follow up after that initial day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't put too much on that on the before time. But yeah, sorry, continue.
Right, absolutely. And obviously one of the things that's going to help your kid's anxiety is that you have all the details and you have everything ready. Supplies, how that first day is going to look, what time you're going to drop off, who's picking up, all of those kinds of things. So you're going to, have all of that set. What's going to be the first day lunch if these kids aren't buying lunch? So that you can show, this is part of parenting. You say this, you show your kid that, we're all set. We're all set to go. We've got your supplies. We've got, let's pick out what you're going to wear, for that first day. And that moves you into the next piece of this, which is the normalizing of the anxiety. It is normal to have anxiety, so you can be open about this with your child. Because it's a new year, it's a new thing, there are new transitions happening, be open about that. Normalize it. It's absolutely normal to feel this way about it. But then the next step is find out what the things are that are making your child anxious. What's in, what is he dealing with? What are the things that are rattling around in his head that he's starting to create stories around? These are those, what if stories that kids, can often develop and ask about it. Does it have something to do with what happened in the past year or even in the past, some other past years that you thought maybe your child had forgotten? Kids suddenly, when they're in these anxious states, they bring up things that happened, two or three years ago when they were in school. And it's like, wow, I didn't even know that was still there.
Right.
So probe a little bit without asking too many questions. Just, is there anything that is making you anxious? Are there particular things that you're concerned about? Then you got to sort of, future pace it a little bit. You ask, what are you hoping will happen this year? Let's get them focused on what kinds of goals they want to meet. What are you hoping will happen? and what are you hoping won't happen this year?
Right.
You know? It's a really important thing.
He'll probably have a lot more answers for the latter question than the former.
Yes, absolutely. I don't want this, I don't want that. And that's where, when down the line when I talk about problem solving, we're going to get to that. Helping your kid identify the helpers, the helpers, who are the administrators, the counselors, the psychologists, the social workers, the teachers. Of course, the teacher is that first primary helper that kids, really go to.
Yeah.
Also, don't minimize the kind of help that teacher aides, teacher assistants, cafeteria workers that maybe, your kid has developed a relationship with over the years.
Yeah.
The bus driver. These are people that kids get hooks into that all normalize things in there. They may see them as helpers. Identify those people. Well, you can always ask your teacher. You can always ask the teacher aide. You always have the principal or the assistant principal. Giving them that permission to reach out is really important. Another thing that I often ask, often used to advise parents about when they would call ahead of time is, if you're returning to the school that you've been attending, who are the people that you could look for to say hello to that will make you feel at home? And I mean, who are the people that your kid could look to?
Right. Well, and I mean, I think so often it is those people that you just mentioned too, right? It is the paraprofessional. It is the, it's the cafeteria people. It's the people who are like, who's outside with you at recess? Like most of the time, those people stay the same, even though your main classroom teacher changes. And you can kind of touch base in that way.
But what's really nice, when I worked in an elementary school, what I really loved was that I would watch kids come in. I would always, as when I was a school psychologist, I would be out by the buses and I'd watch the kids come in. I was always one of those people that if I saw a kid that was in distress, I wanted to, intervene and see what we could do.
Yeah.
Sometimes it felt really good if I would say to a kid, who was your teacher last year? And they would tell me, and I would say, why don't we walk down and just say hello, to them first before we go to your new classroom. And, and kids' former teachers are always, they're always so glad to see them anyway.
Yeah.
And that helped them sort of, again, that normalization of things. You're not in foreign territory. Connect those familiar faces. Because what you're really looking to do is to build that sense of safety. And what I always say is turning anxiety into excitement and anticipation for the year.
Gotcha.
Share how you feel when you start something new. That's helpful. What you went through in your first days of school.
Oh, I love that.
And then as I was saying about, pulling it ahead after school, ask questions like, did the day meet your expectations and how? And revisit what went right and what went wrong. Were there any good surprises? What about some not so good surprises? And then move into the problem solving piece of it. What can we do about these things? How do we move forward? And what I will say in this situation too is sometimes you just have to wait. Don't move to problem solve something too quickly. Some people are like, I need to be on that the second day of school. You don't. Sometimes just wait because things work out for themselves. And so you're teaching your kid to we're going to just wait and see how this is. And then you move, and if it doesn't resolve, what can we do to try to problem solve this? What do you think would be a good thing? We want kids to build agency and independence, but we need to guide them as adults.
See, and I love that because there's, I think, such a societal expectation. Now, everyone wants to be proactive, not reactive, right? That's how you succeed, and you want to teach your kids to do the same, but you can't anticipate every problem. And if you are sitting there just waiting for the problem to come your way, that's absolutely no way to live. And it's going to contribute to, what you've been giving us so much great information about today, which is this school anxiety. I honestly, Dr. Joe, it's just always so great to have you here and kind of just bring a nice, healthy normalization to these issues that we remember the anxiety as kids, but, we also have it now as adults. And
absolutely.
I just love
absolutely.
I do.
And I think that the advent of certainly of social media and all of the things that get heightened in terms of what our concerns can be about kids, you know, we look to sort of protect them, sometimes overprotect them, and thus we have this problem with, you know, helicopter parenting.
Sure.
And what we always have to do is really be fostering how are we going to make our kids independent and independent thinkers and good problem solvers and critical thinkers.
Well, you gave us a couple of solutions to a couple of problems today. I do appreciate you. Dr. Joe Shippa, child psychologist, former school administrator, former school psychologist. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, and good luck to your son, and good luck to all your listeners, kids and parents. It'll be okay, I guarantee you.
Thank you. Thank you. You're listening to The Voice Connecticut, WICC. This is The Download.